So on Monday, I had one of those God moments. I was out for my walk, and I love taking walks. It's the thing that I love to do out in the fresh air, my body and my mind, my spirit, and I usually use this as a time to pray. And typically, I'll go over my sermon or a paper that I have to write while I'm walking. And so this Monday, I was thinking about today. I was thinking about Mother's Day and this idea of vital relationships, and I was thinking about my mom and my family. And so I'm walking along the sidewalk, and there's a woman up ahead of me, and she's pushing a stroller, and she's going the same direction that I am. And so I'm power walking, so I know I'm going to catch up to this woman. And so when I get close enough to her, I call out. I say, "Oh, I'm coming up on your left. You know, I'm not a stalker or anything. I don't want to," because I always hate scaring people, on the sidewalk. So so she turned around and she smiled. And she said, "Oh, yeah, we saw you coming." And as a matter of fact, when my grandson saw you, he looked up at me and he said, "Grandma, that man is all alone. Maybe he's looking for his mom and dad." And I looked down at her and at him and I said, as a matter of fact, I was thinking about my mom and my dad just then. And so I said goodbye and I kept walking, and then it hit me. I said, "Thank you, God. I mean, that's just perfect. This little boy gets it." See, because he noticed two things about that situation. The first thing is he noticed that I was all alone and that wasn't right. There's just something off about being alone. And then the second thing is he noticed is that if I am alone, then obviously what I'm doing is looking for my vital relationships. And to a 2.5-year-old, that's mom and dad. That's what this is all about today, is looking at this next habit of spiritual formation that we call vital relationships. Now, there's a danger in talking about vital relationships right now. There's a couple dangers. The first danger is, I mean, think about it. Here we're going to talk about cultivating relationships in the church only 2 weeks before Memorial Day when, poof, everybody leaves for the summer. It's like, "Hey, let's build strong relationships. See you in September." But there's a second danger. When we think about vital relationships as just one option, as one of seven habits that we can get to when we feel like it. Let me explain why that's a danger. You see, because in our culture, we're raised with this idea that each one of us is an individual, self-contained, self-made person. It's me, myself, and I. I create my own destiny. I don't need you. I don't need anybody else. I mean, isn't that the American dream? That's what we're built on. But I'll tell you right now, that is a lie. The truth is that we are all connected in a network of vital relationships. Think about it. Our life begins because of a highly connected relationship. Listen to this sound. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. Boom, boom. What is that? That's a heartbeat. That's the first sound you ever heard. It's the sound of your mother's heart when you were in the womb. Every one of us begins life with an interconnected vital relationship. This is even true of my dad. And I say that because my dad's mother died giving birth to him. But even though he never knew her, he exists because of her relationship with him. And I exist because of that relationship. And my children exist because of that relationship. From that point on in all of our lives, when our mother gives birth to us, our whole life is a series of connections with people and with nature. I mean, think about this. If you were isolated from all human beings for the rest of your life, you would still be dependent upon a vital relationship with the earth. We need food, we need water, we need air to live. You see, because this is the core reality of our very nature. We were created by a relational God. God is Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. God is a community of love. And from that community, we were created. Remember how Genesis puts it? We were created in the image of God, male and female. Now think about that for a second. Being human means being in relationship between two different things, male and female. We are relational creatures. What would happen if all the males and all the females stopped being in relationship? No more human. It's the end. And what if humanity was no longer in relationship with the earth? We would die. You see, the idea of isolation in the self is death. That's hell. That's not what we were created for. Now, we see this all throughout the texts in the Gospel of John and in the 1 John text. We see that the Father is the vine grower who brings forth this vine, and the Spirit is the sap that flows through, and we're the branches that we're connected to Jesus, and the fruit is the process of these relationships. And in 1 John, the Apostle John says that we are born of God. And in the heart of both of these passages is this commandment to love one another. See, here's the thing. It is in the loving relationship between people where there's this mutual give and take that the fruit of the kingdom of God comes out. See, today, it is not a matter of if you are in a vital relationship. It's a matter of how you are in a vital relationship. So we're going to ask a question today. I want us to look, when I look through these texts, there's three basic types of relationships that we have in our lives. And so as I quickly go through these three kind of relationships, I'd like you can even take out a piece of paper and just kind of track your own life. And I want to see if you can put a face and a name with each of these kinds of relationships in your life today. The first kind of relationship is what I'm going to call a shepherd relationship. This is a person who pours into you. I mean, we see this in our text that the Father is the relationship to the Son, who pours into the Son and sends the Son. And then the Son, Jesus, calls the disciples and is a mentor and a shepherd to them. Who pours into your life? You know, I meet with my dad every Thursday morning for coffee because he's my mentor. I look to him for guidance. I have professors at school who are my academic mentors. I read books who are people who are my shepherds. I have Pastor Mark who I look to for leadership and for guidance. I need a shepherd in my life. Who's your shepherd? Who's pouring into you? Now, the second relationship that we see is what I'm going to call a shared relationship. This is the person or the group of people with whom you have this sense of belonging. It's where everybody knows your name. Boom, boom. Right? All the young people are going, what? Look what Jesus said to his disciples. I mean, it's right there in the core, the commandment, love one another. Jesus knew that if his disciples don't love one another, then the mission of God will fail. It is the core of our being to be in community with each other. I mean, this relationship is what we typically think of when we talk about the habit of vital relationships. It's shared community. So what do these relationships look like? I mean, the first and primary one is a spouse. This is a relationship where we've committed ourselves to a life partner who will walk with us through sickness and health and rich or poor, better and worse, that knows us and cares for us. Now, when I look over Grace, this church, there are hundreds of these shared vital relationships all over the place. I mean, they take so many different forms. Sometimes it's like small groups that meet on Sunday evenings, or WOW, or men's groups, or service teams that get together and they do life together around some kind of shared service. There's so many of them. But you know, you never, you see these relationships really come to light when a community faces tragedy. And I think about our community over the last year. We've had our fair share, haven't we? I mean, I think about when Ann Blake died, what this community did. People just swarmed around that family. The children were cared for. Meals were provided. The neighbor across the street stayed with the kids. When I think about when Jim Law died just recently, and how that family was surrounded, and all of those relationships, they kick into gear, and this place was just humming with praise to God for the fruit of shared relationships. See, because these kinds of relationships are the ones that are gathered by the Holy Spirit. They're centered around the risen Jesus, and they're for the praise of God the Father. So how is your shared relationship right now? Who is the person who really knows you, who knows your pain and shares it with you? Are you spending time with people centered around God's word, around prayer, around service? Or do you spend a lot of energy trying to keep people out of the inside? So we've got a shepherd relationship. We've got a shared relationship. And there's a third kind of vital relationship that I want to look at. And this is what I want to call a sent relationship. Because when you look at the gospel text and the 1 John text, these shared relationships don't exist for themselves. I mean, the vine exists to bear fruit. The fruit is so that the world can taste and see that God is good. In 1 John, it says that those who love one another, we conquer the world. And the world that John means of the conquering is we conquer violence and hatred and evil with love. See, the church does not exist to be this comfortable relationship only. But God sends us into the world to be the fruit. One of the greatest ways that we can grow spiritually is when we step across the divide and connect with somebody who's different than us. Now, this can take on a million different shapes. It could be something like an adult who reaches across the divide of age and is a mentor for a catechism group. I mean, that is definitely an experience of the other, right? When you deal with middle school students. Or maybe it's something like walking down the street and meeting the neighbor who's still a stranger and inviting them over for dinner. Or maybe it's purposefully taking public transportation or shopping in a grocery store in a different neighborhood to meet people who are different than you. Or maybe it's spending time with people who can't help themselves who can't give back to you. Or maybe it's even crossing the divide of someone who is considered an enemy and listening to them and seeing them as a human being created in the image of God. When we do this, we conquer the world with love. So how are your relationships today? There's one last thing I want to show you about relationships. These relationships are dynamic. They're always changing. Jesus said to his disciples, "I no longer call you slaves, but now I call you a friend." Shepherds become brothers. Enemies become colleagues. It's dynamic. So I'm going to leave you with two challenges today. The first challenge is this. It's simply, how did you do in your evaluation? Do you have a shepherd that you go to? Are you cultivating shared relationships? Do you have a sense of being sent in your life? And what are you going to do about it? The second challenge is this. It's a little outside the box. But my second challenge is this. You know, at the beginning of the sermon, I said that we're about to enter that season of life where we kind of disperse out into the summer. And some of us, let's be honest, some of us spend the summer feeling guilty that we're not at church because we're at the cabin or whatever. What if we reversed that imagination and we saw it as a sent summer? What if we commissioned our congregation that when we're not in town, we are sent into spaces where people live, where we can listen to them and see what is God doing in this place and how can I join God there and grow? Now, I don't know where you are today. Maybe you've been listening to this whole sermon and thinking, you know what? I'm just alone. I just feel alone. Well, if that's where you're at today, I'm going to remind you of what 1 John said, that you are born of God. God loves you. And no matter how alone you feel, you are never alone. God is always there, like a mother wrapping you in God's arms. And you're surrounded right now by people who want to share that love with you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are not just Father, but you are also Mother. You give us life itself. Draw us into your love. Fill us with the hope that comes from you. And help us to cultivate these relationships in all three of these ways in our lives so that the world can taste and see that you are sweet and good. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.